welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family, a time to open the Bible and see what God has to say to us through His Word. Read some interesting facts recently that roughly one-third of the people in the world eat with a knife and fork, and a third eat with chopsticks, and a third eat with their fingers. I suppose each group feels that their method is best, and might even look down on one of the other groups. We are so prejudiced, aren't we? In our lesson in just a few moments, we'll see how prejudiced the people of Jesus' hometown were against him. Yes, we're continuing our studies in the Gospel of Mark, and we're using an Emmaus correspondence course as our study guide. If you're interested in these lessons, please write to us. Our address will be given in the closing moments of the broadcast. Now, Lesson 5 and page 1 of that lesson. It's titled, Only Believe. Jesus returned to Nazareth with his disciples. This was his own country, where he had worked as a carpenter. On the Sabbath he taught in the synagogue. The people were amazed. They could not deny the wisdom of his teaching or the wonder of his miracles. But there was a deep unwillingness to acknowledge him as the true Son of God. They thought of him as a carpenter, the son of Mary, whose brothers and sisters were still there. Had he returned to Nazareth as a mighty conquering hero, they might have accepted him more readily. But he came in lowly grace and humility. This stumbled them. Notice what Jesus said, Mark 6, verse 4. That's the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, and the 4th verse. And Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, and among his own relatives, and in his own household. A prophet is generally given a better reception away from home. His relatives and friends were too close to him to appreciate his person or ministry. There's no place harder to serve the Lord than at home. The Nazarenes themselves were a despised people. A popular proverb of that day was, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yet these social outcasts looked down upon the Lord Jesus when he appeared in their midst. What a commentary on the prejudice, pride, and unbelief of the human heart. Jesus tasted the loneliness of being misunderstood and slighted. Many of his followers have shared this sorrow. Often the servants of the Lord appear in a very humble guise. Are we able to look beyond outward appearances and recognize true spiritual worth? The Lord was not daunted by his second rejection in Nazareth. He went about the surrounding villages teaching the word. His foes might hate, despise, revile, his friends unfaithful prove. Unwearied in forgiveness still, his heart could only love. Thank you. are listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. We've just made a start in Mark chapter 6, and we're looking at verses 7 through 13 at this time. We would urge you to follow along with us in your Bible. We also have a study guide prepared by William MacDonald that we're using. If you'd like a copy, please write to us for information. Also, if you have Bible questions, send them to us. We want to help you. Our address will be given in the closing moments of this 15-minute program. Now continuing in Mark chapter 6. The time had come for the disciples to launch out. They had been under the matchless tutelage of the Savior. Now they would go forth as heralds of a glorious message. Mark 6, verse 7. And he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs. That was the first part, verse 7, of Mark chapter 6. We note that he sent them out two by two. The preaching would thus be confirmed in the mouths of two witnesses. Also, there would be the strength and mutual help in traveling together. Finally, the presence of the two might be helpful in cultures where moral conditions were low. Next, he gave them authority or power over unclean spirits. This is worth noting. It's one thing to cast out demons. It is another thing to confer on others the power to cast out demons. Only God can do this. If our Lord's kingdom were of this world, he never would have given the instructions we find here in Mark chapter 6. They are the very opposite of what the average worldly leader would give. Let's take a look at them. First, the disciples were to go forth without provisions. No bread, no wallet, no money in their purse. They were to trust him for the supply of their needs. Theirs was to be a life of faith. They were allowed to take sandals and a staff. The staff was perhaps for protection against animals. One coat would be enough. Certainly no one would envy the disciples for their possessions. People would not be attracted to Christianity by the prospect of becoming wealthy. And whatever power the disciples would have must come from God. They were totally cast upon him. Second, they were to accept hospitality wherever it was offered to them. They were to remain there until they left the area. This instruction prevented their shopping around for more comfortable lodging. After all, their mission was to preach the message of one who pleased not himself, who was not self-seeking. They were not to compromise the message by seeking luxury, comfort, or ease. Third, if a place rejected the disciples and refused the message, they were not obliged to remain. To do so would be casting pearls before swine. In leaving, the disciples were to shake the dust off their feet, symbolizing God's rejection of those who reject his beloved Son. Although some of the instructions were of a temporary nature and were later withdrawn by the Lord Jesus, yet there are lasting principles here for the servant of Christ for every age, for our age. The disciples went forth preaching repentance, casting out demons, anointing the sick with oil and healing them. The anointing with oil, we believe, was a symbolic gesture, picturing the soothing, alleviating power of the Holy Spirit. We move from this beautiful scene of the disciples going forth into the world to that of King Herod. Here's a man who, when he heard of the miracle work of the Lord Jesus, concluded that it was John the Baptist risen from the dead. The terrible pangs of conscience were stabbing Herod for what he had done. John the Baptist had been a voice from God. Herod had silenced that voice by beheading John. Now his conscience was catching up with him. He was learning that the way of the transgressor is hard. In John chapter 6, we have a review of how John the Baptist had been killed. Then, further on in the chapter, we have the feeding of the 5,000. This miracle is found in all four Gospels. From this very fact, we know that this is an important miracle, that is filled with valuable lessons for us. Here are some of the lessons we glean from the feeding of the 5,000. The Lord has infinite power to provide for the needs of His people. We need never doubt His ability to make a table in the wilderness. Remember how He fed the children of Israel for 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. The second lesson we see here is in regard to the perishing world that seems to us to be too great to feed. We ask, how can the world ever be evangelized? Jesus says to us, as He did to the disciples that day, you give them something to eat. If we give them what we have, He can multiply it in blessing to multitudes. He uses what we have, however small it may seem. Third, the Lord Jesus handled the work in a systematic, orderly way by seating the crowd in groups of hundreds and fifties. Fourth, the Lord Jesus did not distribute the food Himself. He allowed the disciples to do this. His plan is to feed the world through His people. There are other lessons here, and they're listed in our study manual. But our time is gone. We want to thank you for listening. Write to us this week. Our address will be given in just a few moments. We always enjoy hearing from you. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.